In the name of Christ Jesus, who has come into the world to secure our salvation, dear fellow redeemed, the word of the Lord, which forms a portion for our sermon text this Advent Sunday, comes to us from John chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God. Congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to fellow redeemed. Well, have you heard them yet? Last Sunday was November 25th, which meant we were one calendar month away from Christmas. But now, fast forward another week, we are even closer to Christmas. We are now in the month of December, the Christmas month, and I'm sure that you have seen all the different decorations and preparations of people preparing for Christmas. You might have even seen some Christmas lights on your way to church here this morning. But have you heard them? Yes, I am talking about Christmas songs. In the past, I have spoken about all the different baggage I usually have when it comes to Christmas songs and Christmas music. For the most part, a lot of the Christmas music out there that's getting sounded out in the department stores is, let's just say, less than ideal. A lot of the music that gets played in stores now has to deal with Santa Claus and how he's coming to town, how Rudolph the reindeer with the red nose can navigate a sled in bad weather, and how Frosty the Snowman is a jolly, happy soul. While these tunes can be trying to listen to repeatedly, there is, however, a silver lining to them. Sometimes we actually hear real Christmas music played in between these songs. Our country, of course, for a large part, has secularized Christmas. They try to take Christ out of Christmas entirely. But sometimes you actually hear music that is talking about Christ, referring to his blessed birth at Christmas time. What is your favorite real Christmas song? Well, there are many to choose from. One song that I find really sets the table well for Christmas, if you will, is Silent Night. This song reflects the imagery that the shepherds must have felt that first Christmas. All is calm, all is bright. The shepherds that night witnessed some extremes. They went from the glorious choir of the heavenly hosts into the quiet manger where the good shepherd would be born. Christmas is a time of anticipation. With good reason, of course. There's much to look forward to, much to get excited about. It all culminates with Christmas. We're not ashamed about being excited about Christmas, but if you believe the other song, it's known as the most wonderful time of the year. It is this way, not because the reasons that song would have you believe, not because of the external traditions that go hand in hand with December 25th. It is the most wonderful time of the year because it is when we study and we value the fact that Christ truly was born, and he was born for you and for me. We pray the Holy Spirit bless our worship here this morning. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Of course, this section of scripture is referring to the event known as Palm Sunday. This was the day, of course, that began Holy Week, when Jesus rode a donkey into the city streets of Jerusalem. This, of course, is good, but Palm Sunday is 5 months away, give or take. Why do we talk about this event, Palm Sunday, at the beginning of Advent season? Well, this text is appropriate because it does describe an arrival of Christ. This entrance into Jerusalem is when he arrived at Holy Week. True, he did arrive some 33 years prior to this event, but his arrival at Bethlehem was a real foreshadowing of this arrival at Jerusalem. This arrival was what that arrival was all about. Notice how Jesus enters the town that day. It was to shouts. A great multitude had come out to see Jesus come in. The people came equipped with palm branches, something that was usually reserved for kings' royal entrances. They, in fact, called him a king. They called him the King of Israel. A title that Pontius Pilate would then grill Jesus about a mere few days later. Their shout also consisted of the cry, "Hosanna," which is translated, "Save us now." No doubt there were some in that crowd that did not fully understand what this was, what was going on here. This fact is similar to people who know real Christmas songs by heart and yet do not know the real Christ by the heart of faith. This section of scripture really reflects well the sense of anticipation that we feel here at Advent time leading up to Christmas. There's always much noise and sound before the Savior comes. Since mankind fell in the garden, God had directed these sounds like a master conductor. Mankind had doomed itself by succumbing to sin, but God never left us out to dry. Immediately, he promised his Son to be your Savior. Ever since the fall, he had continued these promises, continued this message that the Messiah was coming. All throughout the ages, from Adam right up until that night in Bethlehem, man was looking forward to Jesus being born. It was constantly foretold and pointed to that for Christmas, finally, now, it was here. Jesus was here. There's always a lot of sound and noise before Christmas. This time of year is often seen as one of the busiest ones in the year. There's the hustle and the bustle of shopping for Christmas gifts, preparing your house to host Christmas, and all kinds of other arrangements that need to be made. But there's a sort of emptiness after the holidays conclude. Have you ever been in a department store on December 26th? Stores may be busy on this day, but if they are, it's because people are returning the gifts they just got. Shelves are relatively bare and empty, disorganized things, where once these places were hustling and bustling with crowds and noise, now they're moderately empty and silent. This too is reflected with Christ and his arrival. Think about the shepherds on that first Christmas. Think about their point of view. They were out in the Judean countryside watching over their herds of sheep. All of a sudden, they see an angel. This angel tells them, "Don't be afraid. Rather, listen to what I'm about to tell you, this good news I'm about to bring to you." Then all of a sudden, immediately, there was a heavenly host of angels praising God, giving him glory, saying peace on earth. They then went from that scene, that huge, big, praising scene, and they went to Bethlehem, to the silent night, the quiet manger. They came and they saw this babe, relatively a silent scene, except for the sound of the animals that were in the manger with this family. It went from loud to very silent very quickly. And the same would be true, of course, about our scene that's painted, that John paints before us in this text. Yes, Jesus entered Jerusalem to cries and to shouts, but this week would end with silence. Jesus would be silent during his trial. The city would once again erupt with cries, not Hosanna, but rather crucify him. That sound would die down with Christ's ultimate death, and the sound of the tomb being rolled, or the rock being rolled in front of the tomb, rather, and ultimately silence. I'm speechless. Have you ever said that? Have you ever been left speechless and silent? What are the reasons that one might be speechless? Well, there are a few occasions where we may find ourselves with no words with which to respond. If something occurs to you that is so amazing, that is so awesome, you may find yourselves with no words to express yourself. On the other hand, something quite dire and devastating can leave you without even a word to describe it. Well, if you need help becoming speechless, one quick way to do this is to look at the Ten Commandments. Sure, just glancing at the law does not inspire speechlessness. They're 10 commands telling you things you shouldn't do. You can read these 10 commandments in about a minute or two. But once you really study them and apply them to your life, a speechless realization is made quite quickly. Not only do we see that we failed to keep these 10 commandments, but we failed to keep all of them. It's not like we just fail to measure up to them every once in a while, but every single day of our lives. They do not just apply from today on out, rather they apply to all of our days. This is the standard in which we're supposed to have lived our life. Think back to your past. How many ways can you think of that you have not followed the Ten Commandments? How many ways can you not even begin to remember in which you have failed to meet up to these? The mistakes we have made in our past, our present, that we will surely make in the future should strike speechlessness in our sinful hearts and minds. The excuses we might make, well, they don't help either. We have no excuse. God says, do this or else. And we find ourselves on the receiving end of the or else. Our sins make us speechless. Well, one thing that really helps with speechlessness is time. They say that time heals all wounds. Sometimes humans need a little bit of time to process things. When there's an enormous experience, sometimes it just takes time to be able to express it. Sometimes humans need time to forget, and sometimes humans also need time to remember. This was the case for the disciples there that day who saw Jesus riding on the donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. It would take time before the disciples would fully comprehend what was going on here. Once Jesus had gloriously ascended into heaven, they could remember this, not only this experience had happened, but that this was prophesied about Jesus centuries prior. Yet in the moment, it was hard to explain. But one group of people who did not need time to express what they were thinking were the Pharisees. They immediately expressed their displeasure over this scene. When they saw Jesus entering into the city to the cries of, "Save us now," they knew they failed. They were quick to blame each other. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Our sinful flesh often replicates this Pharisaic attitude. Granted, their shortcomings as they viewed them were letting Jesus get popular with the people. And our conclusion, rather, comes from the law. We, too, have failed. fail to treat God, to treat Jesus like he deserved. We too accomplish nothing. That is, we accomplish nothing that God's law requires. But then, we disciples, like those disciples there that Sunday, also remember. It takes time to respond to speechlessness, and it can take time to fully remember. And what exactly do we remember? Well, we remember the cries. We remember the shout-outs. A shout-out is a slang term that means to recognize or to thank someone. If you're on a television show, perhaps, and you wanted to thank your friends or someone special, you would shout them out. The shout-outs for the Savior have been going on since we fell into sin. When you look at the law, when you're left silent, knowing how completely and utterly you have failed and what that ultimately means for you. But that silence is soon replaced with cries, with shout-outs. We shout out, I need a Savior. I need someone who could do all these things that I simply did not do, that I fail to do every single day. Our shout-outs are just like those of the crowd there that day on Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Savior, save us now. Well, praise be to our God, because that is exactly what he does. Whereas the human tongue often falls dumb in its own despair, God, your God, is never left speechless. He saw our need before we even comprehended it. That is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the first place. All throughout our history, God called people to shout out the birth of the Savior. The prophets constantly shouted out through prophecies that God, in fact, intended to keep his promise to mankind. Jesus was born and did accomplish your salvation in Jerusalem. Before he left to take his rightful place at God's right hand, he commanded that these shout-outs continue, that his disciples continue to shout out that this happened to the ends of the earth. It is a task that we still strive to do today, tell others what we have heard, that there is a Savior who did accomplish the salvation of the world. He has hosannaed. He has now saved us. The disciples would remember this day, this Palm Sunday, after Jesus ascended, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That was a collection, Pentecost, of different cries. Tongues of all nations and all people would call out that Jesus was the Christ who accomplished the salvation of the world. They were no longer speechless. Quite the opposite. They had to speak up to tell all the corners of the globe that Jesus had saved them. Psalm 19 says, their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The quiet that was Jesus' tomb at Easter time, was erupted on Easter Sunday and his subsequent ascension. Now the world had to hear. But has the sound died out? People still shout out the news of Christ today, true, but the world tries to quiet and to stifle our proclamations. They go as far as impressing upon you that it is impolite to say Merry Christmas, rather it is correct to say Happy Holidays. You can talk about Santa and Rudolph all you want, but if you bring up Christ at Christmas time, now you're being intolerant. Our own society tries to turn down our silent night to inaudible levels. But the silence will one day again be interrupted with shouts of praise. The cries are very much the same now as they were then. Man is still very much in need of a Savior. The world will downplay this fact, but it is a fact. We strive to continue to shout Jesus out everywhere we go. We do so by telling others about Jesus. We do so by living lives that also shout out Christ. This is not to say that we need to verbally shout everywhere we go, Jesus is Lord, but rather we can let his light shine through our everyday lives. We let the light of faith shine through our fruits of faith. No matter what the attitude is in the world, we can constantly tell others Jesus is the Savior. We can do this by what we say and by what we do. Just like Jesus came to Jerusalem that day, so too will he return. His second coming will be just as anticipated. There are some who may not be looking forward to that day. They don't even want to think about it. They live for the now. They live for the world that they can see. But that is why the Lord tells us to watch and pray. He will one day return, and he will come like a thief in the night. We know that this will be the case. The question we now need to ask ourselves is, how will we prepare for it? How inappropriate would it be if you were not prepared for Christmas? Many people, of course, put off Christmas shopping to the very last minute. There is a reason many of those stores, the department stores, are left with empty and disheveled shelves on December 26th. It's because many people rummage through these the last possible second before these stores close for Christmas. Many people keep Christmas until the last second before they finally act on it, but it's not like Christmas is a secret. Every year it's December 25th. It is because many people aren't ready that there's always last-minute shoppers. Let us never act this way. I'm not talking about if you're an early shopper or a last-minute shopper, but rather, let us not put off the return of Christ. We know not the day nor the hour which he will come, but we do know surely he is returning. Let us not live our lives like last-minute shoppers who say, oh, we'll do that later. No, let us always prepare for Jesus now. Let us prepare for Jesus today. Let us get our voices warmed and have our palm branches close at hand. This time, his entrance will have no trace of lowliness. There'll be no donkey he will ride in on. Rather, he'll return wholly triumphant. He'll return to an innumerable choir shouting a deafening chorus. When that day comes, we will not be speechless. We will not have no words to describe this experience. We are expecting it, and we will be there, and we will cry out with the rest of his disciples, Hosanna! Blessed is he who came and who comes again in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel, Jesus the Christ, our Savior. Yes, Christmas is fast approaching. You'll see it almost everywhere you go now. You'll see it in the way people decorate their houses, in the way people dress, even in the way people will greet you in the streets. No matter what you do, Christmas is coming. So now is the time to prepare for it. The world will try to make you think that you have plenty of time to prepare for Christmas. There's nothing to prepare for in the first place. They'll try to take Christ entirely out of Christmas. As a Christian, this can be frustrating. The utter lack of Christ, or perhaps even the disdain of Christ at Christmas, can make you feel sad, even speechless. But then we remember that Christ truly did come, that he came to conquer my sin at the cross. We remember that just like he left, so too will he return. When you see other people remembering Christmas traditions, let us remember the real meaning of Christmas. Remember that Jesus has come and will come again. Remember that nothing can ever stop this happening, just like nothing can separate us from him. Christmas is coming. Just as surely as that day will be here before you know it, so will Christ's return. Let us therefore gather our palm branches, as the real Christmas message is once again heard. Let it warm your hearts, and let it warm your voices. Soon is the hour when we will shout our praises to our God and King. It may be quiet now, but right around the corner is his second coming. That will not be a silent night. No, rather, we will be there shouting our thanks and our praises with the rest of his saints. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Amen. Please rise.